What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Clinton Yates is in today for George Sedano.
Yeah.
And it is time for What You Need to Know with at UNEEQ underscore. Follow this woman, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, happy International Women's Day.
Gracias.
Yes.
You know, women that make the world work.
Who
I'm
runs
just
the
saying.
World? Girls. Sorry, I had to do that. It's a must.
I'm glad you did, because I was going to play that song anyways. But
nice.
So I may or may not be a little speed demon, but I just found out that more than 175 miles of LA streets are lowering their speed limit.
Huh, lowering it.
Yes. Kind of wanted to go the other way. But,
I don't hate this, Scott. I'm a surface streets guy. That's why I brought that
okay,
up. I don't
okay.
really ride on the highway that much. I surface streets, and slowing them down, that works for me.
Really? I don't know how I feel about it.
There's kids and stuff, man. People are out there cruising around. No. You want to burn it down like you're in some movie from the 80s? Get your butt on the 110. Get on the highway.
Oh, no, the 110 is not it.
Whatever.
It's
don't do it in my street where there's a light and a stop sign. No, thank you.
Yeah. Well, if you guys want to know what 177 miles of LA streets are lowering, because it's a lot, and I'm not going to say them all on air, you guys can go over to Twitter. I will put the link, and you guys can check all that out.
Well, are we talking about going from, like, 65 down to 55?
No, it's only 5 miles. So, like, if there were 40, they're going to, 35. If there were 30, they're going to 25. So it's not a drastic change, but in places like what Clinton's talking about, where there are safety concerns, that's why they did that. And they're allowing cities to kind of have more control over that.
Also, here's the thing, Scott, is that everybody looks at that speed limit as a guideline. So if you start it at a certain place, everybody's bumping that up 5 to 7, saying, oh, it's fine. I'm only X and X over the speed limit. But the reality is, if you're breezing through a school zone at 45, you're probably moving too fast. You know what I'm saying? Slow it down, partner.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I just, my cynical mind jumped right to the last 2 years, not as many people have been driving or going to work. So if you lower the speed limit and people don't abide by it or they don't know about the change, it's just an easy way to write a whole bunch of tickets and make, generate a bunch of revenue. Again, I'm not saying that's right. It's just my cynical mind at work. That's just the way it goes.
Probably true, but if that makes it safer, I'm down. You know what I'm saying?
All right, so, Clinton, I see a lot of people are on the phone, and they want to get involved here this afternoon.
Yeah.
In fact, I've seen some tweets about the most recent caller that we had. A guy called just a few minutes ago and said, hey, guys, Russell Westbrook could just be having a bad year. I mean, statistically speaking, his numbers are all down, and maybe he'll come back next year and he'll be the player that he was, this triple-double machine, and everything will be right in the world. And I've seen a bunch of tweets that are saying that's the worst call I've ever heard. who is this guy calling the show? This is about Russ. All his all-star teammates wanted him off their team because they knew they could never win with him. I mean, these are just tweets that are coming in. Joey says, yo, Kaplan and Yates, stop with these whack calls. Bad year. All of a sudden, we're dumb. We don't know basketball anymore. Stop making excuses. Russ has sucked so far this year. I mean, and the list goes on and on.
Yeah, but it's not an excuse. It's just that many things can be true. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. And you're trying to tell me that if Russell Westbrook is having some career year, that the Lakers are suddenly, what, a top four team in the West? Absolutely not. I don't think that anybody is implying that that's the case. The issue is how it's gone down specifically. The bricks, the turnovers, the chirping at crowd members, the getting into it with the media, that's the issue. It's not about just whether or not do we blame one person or nobody. It's not zero sum. I just think that overall, he is a microcosm of the larger elements of the problems that the Lakers have.
Coming up in just a few minutes, though, I want to play for you. I don't know if you heard this or not, Clinton, but on Saturday, ESPN broadcast the game on television, and it might as well have been Game 7 of the NBA Finals. I mean, you had Magic Johnson, Stephen A. Smith, Michael Wilbon, Mike Greenberg.
Jalen was here.
Jalen Rose, Lisa Salters, Woj. I mean, ESPN brought everybody to Crypto on Saturday for the Lakers and the Warriors. And it was a big national television game, and LeBron shows up huge. But before the game, Magic Johnson, I mean, Magic was all in on Russell Westbrook. And I think that what Magic said, and then Russ last night, and now Magic's tweets today where he's trying to encourage Laker Nation, it's almost as if Magic stirred it all up on Saturday, and is now backpedaling a little bit here this afternoon. So we'll get to that coming up in a matter of moments, but let's go to the phones. Here's Lance checking in on Sedano and Cap with Clinton Yates in the house. Hey, Lance, what do you say, man?
What's up, Lance?
Hey, guys. So I've had some actual like personal experiences dealing with Russell myself, being a bartender, working in different kind of bars and restaurants, and that chip never comes off his shoulder, man. That is his attitude. It's his attitude on and off the court. I think that's probably, you know, where a lot of the criticism and why people just don't empathize for him at all. I mean, he treated everybody rude every time I've ever taken care of him everywhere. I mean, one of my friends even ran into him at a mall and got cussed out by him for asking to take a picture.
Okay, hold on. We're not going to sit here and slander the character of Russell Westbrook because a couple people might have run into him on a bad day. I think that that's fair to understand that, sure, he might be a little bit more, I don't know, he might have a little bit more stank on him than the average person, but what we're not going to do, because this is not, in my opinion, appropriate, is make it seem like he's a bad guy. I just don't believe that. He does too many things in too many places. Whether or not he likes dealing with the media or fans does not directly correlate to him being some terrible human being. That's not fair.
Yeah, no, I feel like what you're saying is right on. I don't really care about, you know, the experience that somebody may have had as a bartender with the guy or somebody who asked him for a picture and he wasn't accommodating. That's fine. That's another deal. I'm just simply talking about this victim card that he's playing. I didn't understand it last night, Clinton. On one hand, he's offended because somebody said West Brick, which I'm sure is not the first time anybody's ever said that to him in his career. And then he put it together with, my kid goes to school. He's so proud of his last name. So when somebody disrespects me by changing my last name, I'm going to have to address this person by person. Hey, Russ, come on, man. Like, get your head in the game. That to me is what I'm talking about, not whether or not he's a good guy or a bad guy in real life.
I'm with you, but if people started calling you Scott Kraplin every single day of the week, it might get to you after a while. You know what I'm saying? And that's just kind of where I think this is from a larger team standpoint, because, no, you can't just blame him, as in Westbrook. You can blame the team. You can blame the front office for thinking this was going to work to begin with. You can blame Anthony Davis, or you can blame anybody you want. But as it pertains to how Russell Westbrook deals with it, he's just different. That's part of the makeup of who he is, and that's something you got to take into consideration when you are putting together a roster.
Hey, Lindsay and Laura, you know what Russell Westbrook really wants?
What does he really want, a romp-em?
No, although he also would look
I've
really
seen him
sharp.
Wearing romp-ems.
I feel like he's, yeah, yeah. He's definitely
I've
worn
definitely
those
100%
before.
Seen him wearing romp-ems.
Right.
I might get me a Russell Westbrook romp-em.
Ooh,
matter
with
fact,
his face plastered
for our
on it.
Bits.
That's
yeah.
a good idea.
It's in play.
I just think he wants you to put some respect on his name.
By the way, some guy tweeted in, some guy at John Breezy, he says, you guys should be called the Romp'em Stomp'em Robots. That's a lot. That's a mouthful.
I don't know. I kind of like that. I kind of like it.
That was a great game. Romp'em Stomp'em Robots.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah, that was a great game.
They might have made a movie about that, too.
I think you might be right, although I can tell you for sure I haven't seen it. But Rock'em Sock'em Robots, I mean, that was good. When you punch the robot in the face and then his head pops off.
That's your kind of entertainment?
I liked it. I liked that game. I did. Here's Eric in Van Nuys. Hey, Eric, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, fellas? It's David from Van Nuys.
That's all
hey,
right.
David.
David, what's up? I'm with you, Dave.
Hey, guys. I'm calling about the Russ thing. You know what? Honestly, I'm a Laker fan, and we Laker fans are pretty harsh when it comes to the Laker players. Yes, we are used to having a championship team. But you know what? I kind of got to give it. It is kind of hard to have a bad season. But at the same time, we do have to put some respect to these players and you know, give them some respect. And, you know, honestly, if people want to call and say that Russell Westbrook is this and that, honestly, I run into Russell Westbrook quite frequently because I work in the area where he works, and he's actually a really nice person. So for people to actually call and downplay him, he's not that person that people think he is. So, yes, me being a Laker fan, I wish that this season would be what we Laker fans expected, having a big three, but it didn't. And with that being said, I still think he does deserve respect because he's, at the end of the day, he's a human being. Just because he's a baller and he's making money and whatever, it doesn't mean that we have to go out there and disrespect him. So that's my take.
Him, but it's honestly, can I ask everybody
well, hold on,
a question
Scott,
here?
Though, I think I know where you're going with this. Let me say this quickly. I go will ahead. Acknowledge, in 2022, this is an entirely different conversation that we're having just as a sports populace than we would 5 years ago, 10 years ago, never mind 20 years ago, when people looked completely differently at the way that they thought we should interact with athletes. There is a very specific part of this that is, even if you don't like it, clearly like a, I just, I don't want to say progressive, but like, this isn't a conversation we have 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You know what I'm saying? I'll acknowledge that this is not something that I think anybody should be used to. You know what I mean? But that doesn't mean it's not real. That's all I'm saying, at least for Russell.
I mean, but can I just ask, is West Brick, is it so utterly offensive? I mean, listen, you're not playing up to the standard of expectation. And that's simply because you've been so good, statistically speaking, at other points in your career. So when you're not as good as you have been, and you're not, and the team has fallen completely flat based on what everybody's expectations were going into the season, are you telling me that a fan saying West Brick turns into this press conference about his child and school and his pride and his name, and I'm such a victim now that people are, they're making fun of my name?
He's saying is he doesn't want to hear about it from anybody in the media anymore. That's what he's saying. That's clear to me. Like, the level of offensiveness that you're talking about is one thing in terms of discussion. I think what he's getting at here is, I don't want to hear about this. It's messing me up. It's messing my family up. The reasons why don't matter. How about y'all at the very least stop asking me about it? That's what I genuinely actually think in terms of what his goals were.
All right, let's sneak in one more call here. Here's Tim checking in on Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN. Tim, what do you say, man?
Hi, guys. Hey, I think it's disrespectful for people to be that way to Westbrook. I think that's got no class. But if you follow me for a second, there was something that I kind of realized. When we got Shaq, we had seen how great he was by his stats and the highlights. And when he came to the Lakers, he was that guy. And then if you fast forward to Dwight Howard, the first time he came to the Lakers, he was a great player. We saw the stats, the highlights. But when we got him, he wasn't what it kind of looked like. And I feel Westbrook's kind of the same thing. He, you know, he has all the highlights, the stats. You know, do we really know him? And now he's on our team. We see him every day. And maybe he's not what, you know, was advertised. And I think that's kind of where I'm at with him. You know, he's not having a good season. I don't like him playing the victim card. I also don't think that people should be disrespecting his family. But I just kind of thought that the whole season. He's just not what we thought we were getting or what was advertised. And that was my take.
Totally agree. Yeah, totally agree. That's why I look towards the front office. Like, what are we doing? What's going on with the talent analysis here, you know?
No, that's a solid call. I mean, he came in advertised as one thing, and because we watch him every day and we put him under our microscope, we're not satisfied with what he was versus what he currently is. And then, you know, I do think a lot of this he has brought upon himself, not with his poor performance, but with the stuff that he says after games. Yeah. And I think that he's almost invited some of this stuff.
Yeah, there's always idiots that are going to look at that and say, oh, you don't want it, therefore I'm going to do it. But I'll tell you this, when it comes to people who work in this business and people who are dealing with him for real, ain't nobody going to call them to his face anymore.
Of course not.
Guarantee it.
Of course not.
Not happening.
Yeah. All right, listen, let's keep it going here. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Coming up, did all of this start? Or maybe it was made worse on Saturday by what Magic Johnson said about Russell Westbrook. And maybe Magic's doing a little backpedaling here this afternoon on Twitter. Let's get to that part of the story. Coming right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's right. Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN. Clinton Yates is in for Sedano today. Hey, Clinton, as a baseball guy,
sure. Is
it killing you that baseball is not in spring training? Because for me, where I'm not a baseball first guy, I love stories like this Russell Westbrook story, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I just love stories like these, and it just reminds me, hey, baseball, you better get it together, man, because out of sight, out of mind for a lot of us. I know probably not for you, though.
Yeah, that's not for me in terms of, like, what it's going to be. But I do think that the biggest opportunity that baseball is missing by all of this, and people want to talk, you know, guys that are, you know, sort of your generation where baseball was a bigger thing when they're kids. To me, it's not about losing older fans. It's about your cutting off of the ability to make new ones. And that, when you think about how people interface with the sports world these days, not everybody is liking sports by showing up with their eyeballs and sitting in the stands and eating a hot dog and drinking a beer. People are engaging with the league on all sorts of levels in terms of any sport you want, be it online, be it otherwise. And if you don't have a product, you just can't do that. So you're preventing yourself from growing. That's ultimately why this is kind of asinine to me overall, because they don't actually have to not be playing. They're just choosing to because the owners are, well, greedy as hell.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I want to play for everybody, just getting back to this Russell Westbrook thing. I want to play Magic Johnson. Did you hear this on Saturday, Clinton?
I did not.
Okay. So I made this point, and I want to just bring it back. On Saturday afternoon when the Lakers are playing the Golden State Warriors, it's a national TV game, and ESPN brings everybody like it's Game 7 of the NBA Finals. You had Stephen A., Mike Greenberg, Mike Wilbon, Jalen Rose, and Magic Johnson all in like a pregame on-court panel. You had Woj, you had Lisa Salters. I mean, you had literally every ESPN personality show up in L.A. on Saturday for this monster national TV game. LeBron obviously knew that, put on a big show, got to put on a show. The game-winning Super Bowl champion quarterback's in the house, got to put on a show. But before the game, Magic Johnson had some very, very harsh criticism for Russell Westbrook, and I feel like it sort of started this spiral that we're in right now. Laura, could you play for everybody what Magic said on Saturday? So Magic has that, you know, I thought that was a pretty sharp rant. You know, but then today, Clinton, Magic Johnson has a tweet that says, Laker Nation, it's our responsibility to come together and support Russell Westbrook and his family. Threats and attacks on his family are completely unacceptable, and they will not be tolerated. There's no place in sports for this type of behavior, period. So what did you think? Now that you've heard that for the first time, what did you think when you heard what Magic was saying on Saturday?
That's the first time I've heard Magic actually. I mean, I don't even know. That was like the most natural I've heard Magic talking about anything in a long time. Most of his tweets are things like, the sky is blue today. The, you know, speed limit has gone down on my street. You know, they're pretty basic observations in terms of like what he's talking about. But that to me, I mean, there's a larger conversation to be had about what happens when Magic weighs in, which is a whole separate story. But like, to me, he just sounded like a fan there. You know, Magic oftentimes will talk as the former Laker. He'll talk as the former executive. He'll talk as the Dream Team member, 100 best players in the history of the NBA. He sounded like just another fan there. And I think that speaks to how sort of up and down this season has been. Because when he comes back and tweets about his family, you know, again, this is what people like about the NBA. It's the up, it's the down, it's the through, and it's the between, you know. And that's kind of where we are right now. But at the end of the day, the Lakers still don't look very good. Sidebar, Magic Johnson, speaking of which, I watched that HBO show the other day. I want to talk about that.
I do, too. I watched it last night. I'm super proud of myself, by the way. I was able to actually download the HBO Max app.
How about that?
And they never asked me for, like, a credit card or, like, you know, do you want to buy this service? And there was Winning Time available to me for free.
So let me ask you this. Is it there's an outside chance that it comes with a bundle that you already have and you didn't know that. HBO Max has a bunch of those things. That's how I watched it. I got an email that said, hey, by the by, you've got HBO Max. And I was like, bloop, clicked it, watched it in 5 seconds.
It could be. Or Cap recently got a Roku. And so if you got any apps on your Roku, then it might automatically give you like a free trial. And then after like a week, it might just bill you right to like your Roku.
Yeah, so pay attention to that. That's for sure. Now, okay. You know, you're going to want to be on the lookout for that. But let me ask you this. It's my understanding that the Lakers didn't love the idea of this documentary being made or whatever we're calling it. It's based on the Jeff Perlman book. I did not pay a ton of attention to what this was going to be beforehand. Like, this was not something where I was thinking, oh, man, I'm fired up about this portrayal. I'm not saying I was thinking it was going to be bad, but I wasn't really sure what to expect. And what I got was nowhere close to it either.
I totally agree. So the story that Jeff Perlman, who wrote the original book Showtime, which is what this is based on, the story that I've heard that he was had a friendly relationship, in fact, maybe even a close relationship with Jeannie Buss, and that Jeannie has cut off the relationship ever since.
Oh,
I'm thinking to myself, why? Like, I don't think that, and listen, it was only one episode, and I'm sure not everybody has seen it so far, but I didn't think Jerry Buss was portrayed as something that, that's how I perceived him anyway. Like, was that offensive last night?
I don't know that it was offensive, but I think that this is as much about, like, and not to get too far into the sort of cinematography and storytelling world, but, like, the way that this is all set up makes everybody look a little weirder than I think necessarily is, needs to be coming across. The first person camera addresses, you know what I mean? The cutaways, the sort of mockumentary style. Like, it kind of makes everybody look like a jerk for no real reason. And, like, I was like, wow, didn't realize that Jerry West used three-letter, you know, three-syllable cuss words every single time he talked to anybody. And, like, it was far more, like, I don't want to say harsh, but it was just a little bit more crass than I was expecting overall in tone as a program.
I will say this without giving away anything, because Lindsay and Laura, have you guys seen the first episode yet?
Yes. I watched it as soon as it came out,
okay.
Of course.
Okay. Laura, how about you? Have you seen it yet?
I have seen it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't seen it, but I will just say one thing. Like, if I were Jeannie Buss and I saw the way they portrayed my father, I'd be like, you know what? They really portrayed him, at least in episode one, as a guy who can wheel and deal and put things together, and he's fearless, and he's a risk taker, and he loves the game. Like, to me, I just thought that the way they portrayed Jerry Buss, I thought it was great and entertaining. If how they portrayed Jerry West is how he really was, and most of us didn't know that, I find that to be fascinating and entertaining as well. The Magic Johnson part in this first episode, again, without giving it all away, I thought was great. The relationship between him and his dad. I mean, I just found it to be a really entertaining first episode of a new series that I'm watching.
So, part of the issue with that to me, though, is that they kind of are coming from a disadvantage in this way. Like, it's not a documentary. It's not even a docuseries. It's a scripted, potentially edited in terms of the drama and the story, TV show. And, like, all these people are still with us. We just talked about Magic. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's something kind of weird about the setup. And the way they went so over the top with it, it made certain parts of it feel kind of corny. You know what I mean? I'm like, this was actually a little bit more compelling than just like, hey, buddy, look at me looking at the camera and shaking my keys at the Playboy Mansion. Like, there's something about it that I was kind of like, I actually want a real documentary now. You know what I mean? That's part of it,
Lindsay. I thought the same thing. And as a documentary, like, savant, I would call myself, I thought it was kind of cheesy. And obviously, I know that it's not a documentary and that it's a, whatever you want to call it, a drama type of show, and they have to take their own liberties with it to give it some personality. But I thought that stuff was kind of cheesy, so I'm kind of with you on that.
And Cap, the problem with that I have too is I realize, and this is something that as a man of my age has been doing this job for as long enough as it is, sometimes when I already know all the story from relatively close to my own life in real time, I don't really need a doctor. You know what I'm
saying? I understand that part of it. Yeah. I do, but I will say, like, again, there's this part where Jerry Buss is talking about how he's going to buy the Lakers, and he had like an $18 million deposit that he had already put down. And he needed, it was like, let's just say it was $70 million that he had to pay, and $35 million of it was going to be in real estate assets. And then he looks at the camera and he says, you know, I've got about $120,000 in cash in the bank, so I'm going to have to move a lot of stuff around. Like, as an entrepreneur, you have to look at that and go, wow, the risk-taking tolerance that Jerry Buss had. Now, granted, it may not have been exactly like that, but the way they portrayed his character, I just found that to be really, really entertaining. I'm with you about the corny nature of the way it was shot, and, you know, it was intended to look like it was from back in the, you know, 70s and 80s, but just as an entertainment experience, I thought the first episode was good.
I'll watch the next one for sure. Halfway, because I want to see what happens with that Donald Sterling character. That was so weird.
Oh, that was really
weird. I was
like,
oh my goodness, they went all the way on this.
Like,
as soon
as
they got in there, I was like, oh, yikes. And there was that one part where he was on the phone and asking for money, and asking his ex for money, and she said, did you ask your creepy friend yet? Because he ends up being the reason why it happened. You know, it's like, it's really funny. But they obviously had a relationship. Like, anyway, that was hilarious.
All right, we'll get deeper into it. I really loved it also, at least episode one from what I saw. Here's a call from Ron in West Covina checking in here on Sedano and Cap. We've been talking about this Russell Westbrook situation and brought Magic into the conversation based on his Saturday comments. Ron, what do you think about all this?
I agree very much with what Magic said. He's right about them attacking his family, but Westbrook doesn't own up to him playing so terrible. We gave up some good players to get him, some real popular players. And, you know, he's got a resume. He should understand the standard that we expect is high. And we cheer for him if he does something good. And if he doesn't do something good, he's going to get booed or heckled a little bit. But for $44 million and he's getting $47, he should act more concerned about how he's playing. If he told the public, hey, I might be trying too hard, or the press, I'm pushing it. I'm inside my head. But he doesn't do that. He acts like it's just a regular game, and it's way below that.
I hear what you're saying on that one. Clinton, what do you think? I mean, yep. when you say to Russell Westbrook, hey, does this bother you being booed? Like, do you take this home? And he completely says, absolutely not, man. I'm leaving right now. I'm going home. I got a great wife. I got great kids. Essentially, what people are hearing him say is, I make a lot of money, and I don't really care that much. I mean, that's the way people interpreted that, and that, I think, has rubbed a lot of people wrong, which has, again, like I call it, led to this downward spiral to where now he's the victim because somebody's making fun of his last name.
Well, it doesn't help that, like, when you're broadcasting press conferences live on national television, you're getting into spats with it, and then you immediately cut to, I don't know, Laker legend Shaquille O'Neal, who says right then and there he doesn't like that. You know what I mean? It'd be one thing if this was sort of, I don't want to say what we expected, but what we were used to. But I think that's ultimately what the biggest thing is here for everybody involved, Scott. Lakers fans aren't used to this, and Westbrook's not used to it. You know what I mean? And so whether or not you want to judge in itself whether it's right or wrong, there's clearly a compatibility element here that is still being grinded in terms of the relationship between Lakers fans and Westbrook. That's obvious.
All right, everybody stick around. If you're on hold, we will get to you. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Clinton Yates is in. Radio Tinder is next. And we'll come back to this Russell Westbrook story for sure as the afternoon goes on. Stick around, everybody. Radio Tinder next. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's right. It is time for Radio Tinder. Clinton Yates is in for George Sedano. Sedano on assignment in Miami. Is he doing a game tonight?
I don't know. Lindsay keeps track of this stuff.
I believe he's doing the game tonight, yes, because he flew out last night, and I think it's the Suns Heat game today.
Suns versus Heat mm-hmm. today.
Is that yep. game on right now?
It should be on soon.
Okay. I have the Suns playing right now against Orlando.
So that game's probably tomorrow.
Maybe it's tomorrow, yeah. Must be tomorrow. Right. But anyway.
Anyway, time for Radio Tinder.
Exactly. So I was listening to Travis and Sliwa this morning, and they had a conversation about wearing sweatpants in the office. Mm-hmm. And apparently, Travis thinks that it's a complete no-no, and he said that people should pull it together and wear something respectable into the office. So I guess, like, generally speaking, if you went from your office went from like business casual to after COVID, it's like more casual, that might be a little bit different. But specifically in our office at the ESPN 710 offices, do you guys think it's okay to wear sweatpants? Swipe left or swipe right? Clinton.
I do. I think that's a swipe right. I mean, I wear sweatpants in here all the time. I remember this from when I was in high school. I was not the most motivated kid in terms of like what I wanted to do with my life. I knew what I liked to do as a kid and as a teenager. And I remember we had a career day function where people came in and they talked to us all this stuff. And I went to a pretty good high school. I mean, it was a relatively well-known place in terms of what people were going to do with their lives. And I just remember thinking, dude, I don't care what I do for the rest of my life. I just can't wear no suit, no 5 days a week. You know what I'm saying? That's been my attitude. Excuse me. That's been my attitude for life since a long time ago. So I'm all for sweatpants in the office.
I'm going to swipe left here. But I'm going to start it off by saying this, Clinton. I haven't worn pants in a really long time.
Right.
Meaning, during COVID for 2 years, I have literally been living in sweatpants. It's part of the reason I gained so much weight. Is because I had an elastic, you know, drawstring.
Oh, is that so? Because normally you just know when the pants get tight, it's time to stop.
Well, like, let me put it this way: I haven't tucked a shirt in 2 years.
Ah, gotcha. I see what you're saying.
So look, I've been hyper casual. I stopped wearing shoes. I don't mean I go barefoot. I mean I only wear sneakers.
Right.
Like, I don't even have shoes anymore. I only have sneakers. In fact, sometimes I get dressed and I'm like, how old are you? Are you 16? Like, do you have a nice pair of pants?
You mean
and
like
a belt?
Hard sole shoes?
Yeah, I don't have them anymore.
Bro, you couldn't pay me. I mean, you could pay me enough, but like,
There's no way that if I don't have to, you're going to catch me wearing hard pants and hard sole shoes. I remember I posted the other day because I was wearing jeans to some event. I think it was to a Lakers game. And somebody said, why would you willingly put on bone-in sweatpants? That's how they describe jeans. And that's kind of where I am right now. It still feels like I'm wearing something that's way too hard for a normal person.
I am wearing sweatpants. I'm wearing sweatshirts. I'm wearing hoodies. I haven't put on, like, business professional clothes in so long and don't even know if I could find them in my closet. But the reason I'm swiping left here is because I feel like when we're in the office, there's a way to be casual but somewhat professional, and you just never know who might be coming into our offices. You never know what time a client might just all of a sudden stop by. So I want to keep it like just an ounce more professional than sweatpants, but still hyper comfortable.
Hey, that's why you go with the what I call the uniform, where you go with the sweat shorts on the bottom and the you know, like a button down on top. Let people know you got you.
I have seen you rock that
waist up.
And you can pull that off.
I feel like fashion and business casual and like dress codes have gone completely out the window since COVID. And if you want to wear sweatpants, wear your damn sweatpants.
Things have changed. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah,
our,
they
our
have
outlooks
for sure.
Outlooks on what we're doing has changed a lot in the office.
Right. Yeah, and what's exactly important.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
All right, next one. So Apple revealed their new iPhone, iPad, and Mac models today during its first major event of the year.
My God, really?
Yeah.
I feel like I turn around. Every time I turn around, there's a new. Anyway.
Well, every year, pretty much. Not
yeah, I know. But, you know?
Well, the new version of the lower-cost iPhone SE, which comes with a smaller display than Apple's higher-end iPhone 13, will feature 5G capabilities, a more powerful chip, and it's going to have better battery life. Whoop, whoop. Like, that's all I care about these days is just a better battery life and a better camera. But just wanted to know, are you guys typically someone who goes out to buy the new iPhone as soon as it comes out? Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
Swiping left. I do not. I'm actually the opposite. I'm the person that's like, hey, what's wrong with this one? The camera works just fine. The texting works just fine. I can get my emails. I can surf the internet. I can make calls on rare occasions when I actually use the phone. I just don't find myself rushing out for the latest piece of technology. And by the way, when it comes to an iPad, I'm off iPads completely. I don't have a need for an iPad. I've got my phone. And laptops, I mean, I bought a laptop probably a year and a half ago at Costco, an Apple laptop, and I don't feel like I need to replace that either. So there will come a time where I need a new phone and I'll get the latest, but I don't go do it right away. How about you, Clinton?
Swiping left. I'm closer to Scott on this than most people think. I just don't have that kind of time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up in an era in which you could still hear the internet beeping before you could log on and talk to your friends. The capabilities of the phone at this point are well beyond anything I ever thought I was going to need on a regular basis. Now, if I was like, if this was different, I was going to be like in a full-time influencer mode. Sure, I'd probably care more about what my phone was because I'm using it professionally. But like, dude, I record interviews on my phone. I don't know. We stream stuff. I use it for notes just like you do, Cap. I went to the Apple store probably about 3 months ago because I was hanging out with my brother and he uses an iPad. He's in college. He uses an iPad and an Apple Pencil for pretty much all of his workflow, everything he does. He's a photographer. And I was like, dude, that looks cool. That looks fun. I haven't taken the daggone thing out of the box. Neither one. You know what I'm saying? Just hasn't been useful in me, and I haven't even thought to do it. So
the only way I think I would get a new iPhone is if I ran out of space.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this. How many pictures do you carry on your phone, like, right now?
That's not a number. That's not a real. Yeah. I mean, that's asking me how many emails are in my inbox.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? That's not a realistic number.
Okay, I'm gonna put a number out there, and then you guys give me some perspective. On my phone right now, I have 25,762 photos. And I have 2,905 videos. And I feel like I got plenty of space. Like, I know people who are like, hey, my phone ran out of space. I got to delete stuff. I got to move stuff. So that would be like the motivation for me to get a new phone is if I ran out of space. 25,000, almost 26,000 photos and almost 3,000 videos. Anybody making me look stupid? Like,
I feel like I'd have more than that. Yeah. But it also seems like you're not in the GIF game. Because when you're in different group chats using the GIFs a lot, which you'll have is... like, you know, we like to have multiples, as Sean McVay would say. You know what I mean? So, like, I have a lot of multiples, and I often find when I'm clearing things out, it's like, do you want to delete the history from this?
There's an
chat
app for that, by the way, that deletes your multiple GIFs and photos if you ever screenshot anything. Mm. Yes.
Oh, really?
That's where the numbers get high, and you really start to waste your space.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's next?
All right, next one. So the NFL suspended Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Calvin Ridley for betting on games last season. The league said in a statement yesterday. So Ridley engaged in betting over the course of a five-day period in late November when he was away from the team for non-football illness. He's going to be suspended through at least the 2022 season, according to the statement from the league. Now, Ridley claims he only bet $1,500 total on a couple of games, and apparently he was caught because he went and, like, signed up for the Hard Rock Casino app and bet, like, when he was in Florida, since it's legal to bet on sports there. So do you guys agree with Ridley's one-year suspension for gambling on games? Swipe left or swipe right, Clinton?
I'll swipe left in this regard. Like, this is multifold. Okay, so number one, there is precedent for this, and it goes all the way back to the 50s. For those who don't know, if you know who the golden boy Paul Hornung is, he played for Notre Dame. He got suspended for a year for gambling on games when he was in the NFL. That was many decades ago. But there's also part of me that understands the very real element of conflict of interest here with the NFL being this harsh on people gambling when half their stuff is presented to you by gambling sites. Now, I understand that there's rules, and I understand that for the people that believe in the slippery slope of what it is that competitive value is, you can't have this. I understand that. But to me, honestly, as an actual just person in America, as a sports fan, I'm not that bothered by this. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to write this guy off as one of the worst humans ever. He wasn't playing. He bet on sports. And, like, that's kind of what you get these days. This is the bed we've made in American sports now as far as how gambling and the rest of the things just kind of overlap, Cap.
I'm going to swipe right, which would intimate that I'm going to disagree with Clinton, although I agree with so much of what you just said. Look, I love the NFL. When you see this playoff season, how every game was walk-off and last play, I love football. It is my favorite game. It is my favorite sport. But there are times where I absolutely just despise the NFL. So you understand that conflict?
Yeah.
Loving the game but hating the league? I hate the hypocrisy. Forever, all we heard about was you can't gamble on games, gambling is illegal, and I never slice. Anybody? Anybody with me on that?
I don't know what that last reference is. But
okay,
yes.
That's a Caddyshack reference, and okay, a couple people out there got it. But here's the thing. Peyton Manning and Eli Manning are on commercials promoting gambling.
Right.
Every NFL stadium has DraftKings inside the stadium, you know, like advertisements. There's an NFL football team in Vegas. The point I'm trying to make is the NFL is in on gambling, but when a player gambles even just a little bit of money, that is just completely out of bounds. And if you just kind of slap them on the wrist and say, it's okay, it was only $1,500 and you weren't playing in the game, you've just opened up a huge problem, I think. So unfortunately for this young guy, he's going to lose himself $11 million by not being able to play next year.
Wild.
Plus,
wild
I saw stuff. Joe Banner comment on it that, like, the players agreed to get, like, whatever the league gets, like the NFL gets for all these gambling agreements and licenses, whatever,
yeah,
the players get half of that. So, anyone
yeah, I
who,
mean,
you
listen,
know.
A-plus bonehead move. Let's not sleep on that. I'm just not taking this guy behind the woodshed because he decided to gamble when he wasn't even playing football in that particular moment. That's just me.
Yeah, see, that's where I agree with you. I mean, he's not the worst human being in the world.
Right.
He did something that he shouldn't have done based on what the current rules are.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, listen, that's like this Brittany Griner thing. There's another, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But, like, you know how many times I'd be in jail right now if I got busted at an airport for having vape cartridges with me?
No,
you know?
I don't.
I mean, she's not the worst person in the world, but, you know, Russia is doing what they're doing, whatever. All right, let's do this. Let's get some traffic in. And then since we were talking about football, Clinton, we were talking Russ, and Russ was the story at the beginning of the day, but then Russell Wilson took over Russell Westbrook. Let's get to that coming up next. Yeah, it's Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN. Clinton Yates is in for Sedano.
What's up? I just have a quick update. Some of you know Julian at Soft Shoe Wraps on IG and on Twitter. He chimed in with this, Cap, that you might want to know. You've met Julian. 71,000 photos, 2,600 videos. That's what his count.
He would.
71,000 photos?
That's his count. Yep.
I'm only at 25,000 photos, and I think I've got a lot on my phone. He's at 71,000?
Cap.
You.
How are you just rolling through my jam right now?
So wait, okay. So before this break started, Laura goes, "I'm gonna play either Tank or Avant, and he's not gonna know who either one of those is." Cap, and I didn't say anything because I realized I know who both of them are, but I probably wouldn't be able to delineate one from the other.
What?
I mean, I think this is Tank.
Yes.
Okay. All
yes.
right. But I mean, like, they're crooners from the '90s and 2000s in R&B. They all kind of I don't want to say sound the same, but there's a similar element.
So Lindsay sends me, and she's not here right now, but she sent me a link to a song from Avant.
Yeah.
And I was like,
she was playing R&B hits from the 2000s before
so
the show.
So she was like, do you know who this is? I was like, of course. Like, I've seen Avant in concert. So I played Tank because she wasn't in here. So I'm like, I'll throw in my, you know, song or whatever.
Right.
But I was like, I know Capingall, no, either of them.
No. Do you know who Tank is? Are you familiar with Tank?
No, when you said Tank, I mean...
He thought it was a t-shirt, like the shirt.
Tank Top Tuesday!
No, I've been watching so much like real news because of what's going on in the world. When you said the word Tank, I thought like military vehicle.
I got you.
I didn't even think about that, but no. So Lindsay's song was this one.
I heard this yesterday. And this is such a great song.
Where did you hear it? Tell the people.
So I was getting my eyelashes done.
Oh, I see.
And the girl had like a 2000 R&B playlist on. And I was
so good.
This is like the best playlist I've heard in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We learn a lot about people based on the playlist they listened to back in the day. You know what I'm saying?
Yo. Like,
who they were hanging out with. You know what I'm saying?
My car is interesting because you will either get something from the 90s, like hip-hop, R&B, anything 2000s, or some 80s in there. And then it'll be like a left field, something in Spanish.
Oh.
But like banda.
Okay.
Or like merengue cumbia or something else. And then all of a sudden, there's like a Christian song in there.
Christian song, wow.
Yeah, like a Hill
Uber,
song.
The Uber drivers. Every time I get into an Uber, it's Christian radio.
Really?
It's weird. It's so weird. Yeah.
So my playlist is like all over the place.
Well, that makes sense.
Crazy.
You know, you've got a good taste in music.
I do.
Just so you know, Laura and Lindsay, this goes for you as well. Our conversation, which I believe was last week, about Ubers. Clinton, we were having a conversation about when you get an Uber, do you always sit in the back seat or do you occasionally prefer to sit in the front seat? Do you have an opinion about that?
If I'm solo, I'm not sitting in the front. That's just not happening.
Okay, if you're solo, you're not sitting in the front. Okay.
Or you know what? That's so I've done it before, but I'm trying to think of why. Oh, it's because when I had too many – some guy had his trunk full of stuff. And I had two huge duffel bags. I was going somewhere, and I was like, I just want to sit up front. I don't feel like sitting back here with these bags. That's what it was.
Yeah. See, I told the girls that, hey, look, when I'm by myself and an Uber driver comes to pick me up, I will say, hey, do you mind if I sit in the front? So I just prefer to sit in the front. And so because you guys gave me so much grief about it, when I was in New Orleans this past weekend and I used a lot of Ubers, never even considered asking. Hi, Eunice. I'm Scott. Would you mind if I sat in the front next to you?
Wait.
I mean, the reason I don't do it is because, honestly, I don't feel like talking. And sitting up front, if you're not talking, is kind of rude. Mm-hmm. That's like the main thing. I'm like, I'm trying to, I don't know, look through my 85,000 pictures on my phone. You know what I'm saying? Figure out how to get these multiples out of here. I'm not trying to run shtick about whatever's going on in the front seat. You know?
But Cap, like when I was in New Orleans, I used... like the bus, and I talked to the people. Like
the bus?
Yeah, it was fun. Yo, it was fun.
The trolley is one thing.
Oh, that too.
Okay.
But like the people I got to meet were, I love it, man. Like I love that I can just talk to the people, like everyday people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Great song.
Well, I'll have you know, Laura, that when I got to the airport, when I landed, okay, I went from LAX to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And I landed and I took an Uber and it was surging. And I was like, my goodness, really? It's this much to get from the New Orleans airport to downtown? $100.
Well, you messed up. You should have told me because I got people that could have picked you up.
I know. And by the way, I was using Lyft rather than Uber, which is, I always feel like is cheaper. But a $40 Uber turned into $100.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so then the next day I used Uber again and then back and forth. And finally I said to my daughter, I go, hey, look, because I thought I could convince her. I was like, you know what would be fun? Let's take the streetcar rather than an Uber. Because an Uber was going to cost me like $30, but the streetcar is $1.25.
Yeah.
So I said, let's use the streetcar. Well, here's what happened. So I get onto the streetcar, and it's $1.25, and you have to have exact change in cash. They don't have you can't put a card into the machine, right?
They're very old school like that, yes.
Right. So all I have is a $20 bill. And I said to the driver, I said, well, what do I do? And she said, well, you put the 20 in, you'll get the $2.50 for the ride you're about to go on, and then you're going to have $17.50 left over. And I said, but I don't want the $17.50 because I'm only going to use this one time. So she said, well, I don't know what to tell you, pal. You know, and there's like a line of people behind me, right? And all of a sudden, a person put in front of me two fives and a 10. And I don't even look up to say thank you. I just immediately react and I go, thank you, sir. That's very kind of you. And when I look up, it was a lady, but she was wearing a mask. And so she said, it's not sir, it's ma'am. Now, Clinton, this is the second
again,
time this has happened.
Again. Yeah.
Right. This is the second time this has happened to me where I've said to a lady, thank you, sir. The first time is because I thought it was a guy. My bad. The second time is because I wasn't looking, you know, and I just this is happening to me time and again where I'm saying thank you, sir, just out of like habit. Thank you,
just
sir.
Stop it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you got to do.
I got to stop it. Thank you.
Yep.
Pretty simple.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably good advice.
The streetcars in New Orleans, by the way. So my buddy lives there. He's one of my best friends I grew up playing baseball with. And his son is like probably 2 or 3 years old. And he's so obsessed with the streetcar that they have to walk to school a way such that he can't see or hear it coming or it will derail his entire day, like full meltdowns. I almost experienced this when I was down there visiting him about a year and a half ago. He was like, I couldn't even say the, because I went, look, you know, I'm a pretty observant person. If mm-hmm. those of you who know me in real life, if I see something I like, I'm just going to go, oh, look at that, and talk about it. And I remember I pointed and the kid was distracted and he like, I mean, we've known each other for a while. We've gotten to a couple scuffles just being friends and teammates, but he hit me harder than he ever hit me, telling me to shut up and cut it out because we did not need that meltdown. It was fun.
Yeah, $1.25. And once I gave the $1.25, I put the $5 in, and they gave me a receipt for $2.50 back, which I wasn't going to use. So I said to this lady, I said, I'm so sorry, ma'am. Please excuse me. I here's the extra $2.50. So I just handed it off
so
to
you
her.
You tipped her.
Well, I mean, I didn't mean to, like, tip her. I just...
I'm joking, but
I mean,
yes.
No, but I mean, it was a tip. I was just... I felt so bad. I called her sir, and she was a ma'am. It
happens.
You learn, Cap. You stop at...
I stop at thank you.
There you go.
Bingo, yep. Bango.
No more sirs. No more mm-hmm. sirs. Just thank you. Yeah. All right. Stick around, everybody. What you need to know is coming up for us. And then we intended to get into... We went from Russell Westbrook. We're going to transition just a little bit into Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, because those two guys kind of stole the headlines today. We'll get to that story, what it means for the Rams and the Chargers. We'll get to it. Coming right back. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.